Blog Talk Radio.
The conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain.
Peace of mind. Brother Moses.
Yes, sir.
This word is inflation, right?
The word inflation, yes, sir. It's a compound word.
Let me say something about this word, brother. See, you remember I told you you had used a word on me that I didn't understand. And I had to go read it. I still wasn't understanding the word, what you were saying, until I went and read the definition of the word. That word, Brother Drew, is one of those trick words. Inflation, like he said, it was a compound word. But when I looked at that, the first thing popped in my mind, Brother Mosley, was my daddy. And a lesson that daddy had taught me long time ago when I was a little boy in the eighth grade, and I wanted a motor scooter like the other boys. And I asked him, I had saved up enough money for it. And could I buy it? And he wouldn't let me buy it. And he gave me the reason for me not buying. He asked me, he said, what do you need? And I told him I needed that motor scooter. He said, a person only needs two things, food and clothing. He said, when you let white people use psychological warfare on you, Junior, to be a damn fool because two or three little nigger children and all the white children got these folks and two or three little nigger children that parents got money, you want to be like them, you and your mama. He said, you'd only need only a fool to play into the game of you wanting something. It ain't your goddamn needs. That's what Daddy told me. Well, he said, call that causes inflation. I didn't know what the hell that he was talking about until right now. It brought back the memory. I just saw when I was in eighth grade what Daddy was telling me about psychological warfare of white people take niggas like your mama that got them degrees and want to be somebody and inflate the economy because you want something. Daddy say you, he say you need is food and shelter. Anything else is a luxury. This is what he said, that your ass won't and don't need and can't afford.
Wow.
Now, he told me that I was in eighth grade on this word inflation, and I'm just now understanding what that, I'm just now seeing what Daddy was told. When I read that definition, that shit hit me just like it was yesterday when I was begging him to let me. So I had saved my shine money up to get that scooter. but I had to say this about that. This is very deep because we can see in today's times psychological warfare has been used on us through advertisement that we need something that is a want. And we're the ones that cause inflation. But go ahead on, brother Moses. I had to tell you that, boy. You made me think about my pops. I got to call my sister when this over with me because he told her the same damn thing. Just break it down to her. All right,
brother. Well, greetings to all of my Nubian brothers and sisters, and brother Drew, sister Drew, and brother Dawaya. Appreciate you guys for, again, allowing me to grace you guys with this audio to be able to communicate with hopefully some of the people that eyes are open and some that seek to have their eyes open. So very true. I wanted to follow up on the economic collapse situation that I talked about, I guess, about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I've been traveling a bunch and moving around a bunch. You're so right, sir, about this word, and it doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning unless you go back through the etymology of the word to find out the British, the Greek, and the Latin terminology of the word. It doesn't really have a meaning on its own, just flation. And I knew that by saying flation, that would kind of confuse people even more than just saying the word inflation or deflation, because we hear those terminologies, but we don't know what the hell they mean. So again, like you said, Brother Dwyer, these Anglos formed this language that is called the forbidden language, basically to manipulate people, and that's why it's so imperative that they colonize the rest of the world so that you will speak their language and have their understanding. So, again, I wanted to just come back, and, again, I appreciate you guys. I want to just touch on a couple of things before I go into that wordflation. There's an article in the Guardian, and it talks about the year 2053.
And it was very disturbing for me to read this, because it was talking about the median wealth of the Black Americans will fall to zero by the year 2053. 3 years from now, they're projecting that that white American households will own 86 times more wealth than Blacks or Latinos. And you just think about it. If you take the four richest white boys in America and add up all their money, it is worth more than 50% of the country. That's corporation. More than 50%. So I'm talking white, Black, green, yellow, and everyone else. Four top richest white boys have more money than 50% of America put together. So that means in America, you roughly have 350 million people. That means four people have more money than 175 million people put together. So when we talking about economics and the disparity in wealth gap and what is actually transpiring in this society, and people thinking, oh, America's the greatest country in the world, and oh, we better than everybody else. Well, again, I'm not a pessimist, but we are getting ready to be introduced to a rude awakening. And if you have eyes, and if you have ears, and if you are a person that has melanin in you, and you have some form of consciousness or awakening, then you already realize that we're in this particular situation. However, but many of us, because we've been so conditioned and we've assimilated and we've been genocided, until we don't believe nothing can happen because our white master has made it to where all we have to do is call on him and wait for the government to take care of us. It's amazing to me that I get so many people telling me, man, I get me a check every month. Man, I don't have to go to work. Man, I get a check every month. Well, a bunch of those people are not getting those checks anymore, and a lot of those people's checks are going to be cut in half. So I say all of that to say that they actually put the nipple in your mouth so that you could take the bait, and now that you are not accustomed to fending for yourself, you will not know how to fend for yourself, because there are no jobs that's going to be created in this so-called country. Anyway. So let's get to the real lesson. The word is inflation. Everyone, Sister Shonda, I told her about it. She had to go Google it and looking for stuff. I told Brother Noah, he said, man, you messed me up. I got to go study. Well, yeah, that is a root word, and basically it's an adjective. Inflation. I remember when I was in Europe over there chasing all them British Anglo girls, and they would always say to me, oh, man, my flat is over here. Well, flat is the root word of inflation. What is a flat? Flat is what they call an apartment, as what we would call here in America. They call it a flat. And the flat was the one that was on the bottom floor, meaning it was the one that's on the line. So we look at that word from an etymology perspective. It goes back to flate. Okay, F-L-A-T-A-E. It's a compound word, and basically it's derived from flare, F-L-A-R-E. And I'm breaking it down from British to, from English to the British to the Greek and all of that. So now we're at the Latin, which is the flare, F-L-A-R-E. And Brother Dwight, do you know that that word actually means to blow?
Right.
I was communicating with you and your audience several weeks ago and talking about this bubble. You remember we talked about that economic bubble that's getting ready to break, to burst. Well, there's, just say for instance, when you have someone says, go measure that, see how many feet that is over there. So what do? You go get a ruler. Someone says, well, tell me the distance, from your house to my house. So they say, well, it's a mile and a half. So it's a form of calculation.
Mm-hmm.
That word is a form. It's a measuring stick. It basically is like the compass in the square. It's a measuring stick to determine the economy. So the first word that we get from inflation when it involves talking about the economy is inflation. So what does that mean? That means something has been inflated, right? So if you got a, you know, you get these tubes and stuff, and you know, you had a bike, or if you had an old bike like me, you wanted to get your tire blown up, so you inflated it with air so that, you know, it would ride smoother. So basically, inflation, that basically talks about the economy, talks about the amount of money that it takes to buy a certain durable and good. Like you just talked about, your father taught you that valuable lesson. I teach it to my daughter all the time. So unfortunately, most of us are not aware of what those terminology mean. We just listen to the people speak them, and we're saying, okay, that doesn't mean anything to me, you know, because I'm trying to pay my light bill. So again, inflation, that is the amount of economics as far as your money when it comes to being able to purchase goods. And that is predicated on many factors, whether these people are saying the interest rate is high, whether they're saying the interest rate is low, whatever the Fed is saying. And guess what? None of these people actually are part of the same organization. All of these people are different entities of different corporations. Corporation is not a part of the so-called Corporation of America. People think it is because it says the Federal Reserve. Well, if you look at it, a lot of things says federal, but has nothing to do with government. It's just like you have the Dallas Fed. That's a total separate entity from the so-called federal government. So, just kind of breaking a little knowledge, and I know my Anglo friends are going to be upset with me because they want us to stay dumb and ignorant, but I have to do this because of what Brother Dwyer has done for me, and I feel compelled again. So the action of inflating something, increase in price, and the fall in the purchasing value of your money. That's inflation. So in other words, you go to the store, like Brother DeWater said, he wanted that bicycle. Guess what? If there's 1,000 people that want that bicycle, then the price goes up. If nobody wants it, the price goes down. That's inflation and deflation. Different terminology, but it's the measuring stick to determine what the so-called overall economy is doing. That's why you have them talk about the consumer price index. You have them talk about all of these different acronyms where they're talking about the consumer sentiment. All of this, because when you're in a debt-based system, the more debt that those people in that particular country take on, the more money they have to actually take and borrow against your money. And I kind of touched on some of that, and that may have gone over some people's head, but basically the more money you put into the system, the more money they have to spend. So just look at it like that perspective. So that's inflation. Then you come up with this other word called deflation. So you say, okay, well, dang, I got inflation, and now yesterday they were talking about inflation. Today they're talking about deflation. So what is deflation? That's the action or process of deflating or being deflated. Reduction of the general level of prices in an economy. So when you hear Trump the other day talk about he's ready to go blow up Iran and all of this stuff, what happened to the fuel prices? You can see at the gas pump that your fuel prices have gone up an average of about 30-40%. Well, that's called inflation, because what he has done is put trepidation in the market, and now there possibly will be less product on the market, so the price goes up if there's a demand for it. So long as there's a demand and there's not a supply, that means the price goes up. If there's more supply than demand, then the price goes down. So that's how they use this measuring stick to play with us and make us think that things are wonderful because it's inflationary is not an issue. Well, we're in a deflationary state and we don't have to really worry about it because the government has such a QE4 and QE5, all of these different scenarios where they're talking about fueling the economy to blow up the bubble that is doomed to break very soon here. So these are all of these measuring sticks that they use to elevate, deflate, and that's how they control the economy. So in other words, you could one day wake up if you have a portfolio of just, let's just say, IBM stock worth $1 million. Tomorrow, you could wake up because IBM, for some reason, went and had a class action lawsuit filed against them, and tomorrow, your IBM stock portfolio could be worth $100. So what has happened? There was some trepidation in the marketplace that caused your portfolio to be devalued, deflated, meaning that the air was let out. That is the overall concept of what's getting ready to happen to this economy. The air is getting ready to be let out, and when you blow up a balloon, and if you release it, what happens to it? It flies all over the damn place, doesn't it? And that's exactly what's getting ready to happen in this society. That means you're going to be flying all over the place because unless you have some of them gold and silver and those hard assets, that paper and those bank statements means absolutely nothing. All right? So that's deflation. So, again, they playing games. So if they want something to go down, then they say, okay, well, deflation is among us. So then prices go down. They want prices to go up. Well, inflation. Well, who determines whether it's inflation or deflation? That's part of the game. Pawns in the game. Then we talk about another terminology with this inflation word. It's called stagflation. Well, what in the world does stagflation mean? It sounds pretty, doesn't it? Well, stagflation, let's read it here. Stagflation in the economy is a situation in which the inflation rate is high, the economic growth rate is slow, and unemployment remains steadily high. So basically, you have a condition where people are not able to work because they don't have a job. Unemployment is high. Inflation is high. That means the cost of goods is high, but the economy is not growing. Okay, we go back to that measuring stick. So that's flat now. Okay, because when we're talking inflation, then that stick moves up. Upward. When we're talking deflation, it moves down. When we're talking stagflation, it stays flat. What is a flare? A flare is something that warns people. A flare is something that can either warn you of a bad situation or a good situation. That's where we get this root word, inflation from flare. So it's warning us of things that are getting ready to happen in the economy, but you have to first understand what inflation, deflation, stagflation, and all of these other inflation mean so that these words just won't sound good to you when you hear them on TV and you hear these paid actors on these television stations saying these words and it's going over your head because you're like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Well, it does, because if you're involved in this corporation called America, then you are directly involved, because whatever happens with the economy happens to you may be on a micro level in comparison to the macro level, because you're only dealing with $30,000-$40,000 a year, still has nothing to do with the fact that you're part of that system. So your $30,000 now, if it's inflation, it's going to be worth less. If it's deflation, then it's going to possibly be worth more. We got stagflation. That means your income is not keeping up. You're not making any money. The economy is not growing. Prices are still being inflated. So you stuck. And that's where most of us as people of color are, because you know why? Brother DeWater basically gave us the summation of the whole lesson with what he said that his father taught him. You find more Negroes driving Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and all kind of expensive cars, and you go to their house, and the car costs more than their house. Something's wrong with our mind, because we're more concerned about image than creating wealth. And that's why every time our generations have to start over and over. Only thing we get left is a bill when someone dies. Not when someone dies, we don't get left $5-6 million. We get a bill. I was just over with some of my Anglo business constituents home this past week, about $6-7 million career. Poor boy like me setting up in there with these multimillionaires. And I'm looking at them, and they are trust fund babies. Oh, my granddaddy was so-and-so. So don't have anything to do, because he's a trust fund baby. $8,000-$10,000 a month because of what his granddaddy did. I've had people, because I sell life insurance and all kind of insurance. I've been in people's home, sitting at the table with husband, looking at their wife, trying to get them a life policy. They say, I'm not leaving her jack, because I'm not going to leave nothing for her to be spending on some other Negro. See how warped we are? That's the problem. We have been conditioned, and all we're concerned about. I'm sorry, brother.
No, I just.
Are you guys
there? No, go ahead on.
Yeah. So basically, these are some of the issues that are affecting us, and these are a lot of the problems why when sisters go downtown in Deep Ellum and get beat up by some white dude, niggers don't say a word, because we don't have no economic power. We don't have no economic strength. All we can do is hoop and holler for 3-4 days, and after that we tired because we got to go back to work. But if we had economic power, then we could say, guess what? We will not go and allow any of our people to patronize anyone in Deep Ellum. But who cared? It's just sister girl gets beat down, and a white boy beat her like she was some dog or something. But if he would have beat a dog like that, he would have been in prison. Okay? So we need to wake up, people, and we have so many things that we need to do to wake up, because Brother DeWater has been on this show and having his show for years. He's been running around trying to wake folks up, and people looking at him like he crazy, and they're the one that's crazy. So I know from my perspective, it's devastating, and I speak to a lot of people that are conscious and have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And when we look at our other people, and all they're doing is walking around like some zombies. I told you we are zombies, the walking dead. I told you that on the last show. If you don't believe it, then just ask some of these people questions. When you meet them, ask them questions, and that will let you know where their mind is. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I know people that's medical doctors. I know people that are lawyers, and they have zero common sense. And that's where we are, because we've been taught by this Dragonian system to think, oh, well, you made an A, but you ain't got no sense. You don't have you have no interpersonal skills, because you got on that computer and you typed in a bunch of foolishness and said Columbus discovered America. Then you got an A, lying, because you've been conditioned to believe the lie. Anyway, let me get back to the lesson. One last word, because I've covered stagflation. The other beautiful word in this whole game that these people have utilized on us, and we have zero understanding of, is hyperinflation. Okay, well, what in the world is hyperinflation, Brother Moses? You just said about inflation, talk about stagflation, talk about all this, but hyperinflation, well, hyperinflation is what we are getting ready to experience. The situation with the Midwest that happened with the cattle, I know many of us feel, I ain't concerned about them farmers, forget them, it ain't affect me, I just go to the grocery store. Well, food don't walk out of the field into the grocery store. You have to actually have farmers and people who grow and cultivate things for that to get to your grocery store. Now, since all of this crop has been destroyed in the Midwest, we are getting ready to experience what we call hyperinflation. Food prices, if you love meat, you will be hurting by the end of this year. Grain, wheat, all of those commodities will be triple in price or possibly quadruple by the end of this year because those farmers will not be able to plant any crop in the Midwest this year. So you're about to really get just a little glimpse of hyperinflation. Has nothing to do with what's going to happen because of the economy folding and the reset. So you're going to have 3, 4, 5 different things happen simultaneously that is going to be adverse, especially to people of color, because guess what? We can't get, Sister Shonda, we can't get 5 folks that look like us to do nothing except for go talk about football, basketball, and some ignorance. But we talk about going and putting something together constructively, they're not showing up. Not going to show up. But I guarantee you, they can tell you how many points every player in the NBA scored last night. They can tell you who had more yardage in the football game the last time. They can tell you the litany of everything that is irrelevant to our community. And that's why we're genocide, because we're concerned more about things that are trivial than what is actually true. So, again, hyperinflation, ladies and gentlemen, we're here. This is what we're going to be experiencing because the money is not going to keep up with the demand. And guess what? You have to have a truckload of money to go possibly get a loaf of bread. Meaning a loaf of bread may cost you $5 to $10 in the next 12, 18 months. Don't believe it? Just to keep on living. Because, again, I realize that everything seems so beautiful, and you know, but you also know and can feel. Everyone that I talk to, they can feel something's not right. And you know what's sad? Most of the Anglos that I deal with, we have this conversation more than people of color because, again, we only want to talk about ignorance. But they can feel something's wrong. And then when I talk to them and I explain stuff, they're like, darn, Mr. Miller, you're so right, man. Wow, I can't believe this, man. These people, and these are white people. They're saying these people are no good. I said, well, hell, I've known that for 56 years. That's how old I am. You didn't have to tell me that. But because now it's not about necessarily white, black, it's classism more so than anything else. And unless you have unlimited capital, you will not be accepted into a certain class because that's what dictates what class you will be in. Middle class is about to be obsolete. All the folks that's been working for all these years to be in the middle class, that no longer exists in America. Don't believe me? Go to these huge cities, again, on the West Coast, go to California. Those people are making 6 figures and living in their cars. That's hyperinflation coming to every town. Yes, sir.
Could I ask a question, Brother Mosley?
Yes, sir.
You said something very interesting. You explained it to me something that I get, which you supposed to have explained to me, this hyperinflation. This
yes, sir.
Hyperinflation, you hit me. I see. I've been singing for something. See, you making me see something that I was singing for, and I had placed the song up on It's up on my Facebook, put it out there in the atmosphere. So you're telling me these storms has created a condition of a food shortage that would create hyperinflation. Is that what you're saying, right?
110% correct, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, you just told me that Amanya, who is known throughout the history as the storm goddess, has put some whooping on America's ass. To me saying I got to sing a little bit more now. Brother Drew can tell you, boy. See, Brother Drew witnessed me slinging. When I say that black cloud come off your ass, especially if I get back right like I was back in the day, Brother Drew was back in there. I say that black cloud come
right.
So these storms and this weather has created hyperinflation. You're absolutely right. You can go in the grocery store right now and shit is as scarce as shit you used to could get. You can't get it. It ain't in now. It ain't in now.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody paying any attention. That's the key. That's another key word. And another thing, when you gave me the richest men in the United States. Now, my mama, when the game first came out, mama got a game for us, and she was highly criticized by some of the family members for teaching us this game that she had got for us. I maybe was about 7 or 8 years old, because it dealt with money. But mama's cousin, which was a Jew, had gave her this game for us called Monopoly.
Yes,
put out by the Jew. And mama taught us that game, and we played that game. But you can see that game, if you know how to play it.
Yes, sir.
God damn it, shit is being played on us, and this deals with housing and development, buying stock in railroad, buying this in Illinois,
and
Park Place.
Hey, just like you know, Brother Dwyer, and I know, these folks, they reveal things that are supposedly in secret. They reveal it to you. They put it right in plain sight.
Yeah, they don't hide shit from you. But
no,
I was just thinking about that game that mama had taught us. She wanted us to, she taught us. She got criticized because they was teaching us how to gamble. So her cousin was saying, mama said she was teaching us since that her Jewish side of the family. Hey, that's a Jewish game. Brandon put it out. But mama taught us that game. I'm just now understanding that damn game. Because I'm putting that game together with what you're saying about inflation and this shit here about the riches. That's you monopolizing, and the government is clearly you ain't supposed to monopolize, but you can see that happen when Trailway Greyhound bought out Trailway. That's one of the biggest monopolized. It was when that happened.
Yes, sir. We're puns in the game.
This is a hell of a lecture. But this hyperinflation, that shit's been to happen. This ain't no
it's
bullshit.
Here, it's here. But that game Monopoly. If you want to teach your child economics, then you teach your child how to play that game. And I guarantee you, your child will have a better understanding of economics than a child that have not been privy to that game, because it's the whole system. That game was basically created just like the book, The Pawns in the Game, the Book of the Zionist Jews. They reveal that so that you would be able to see what is actually transpiring, but unless you can take time to understand it, then you have to think of it more than a game. You have to look at it as reality, and that's the bad part, because we have no clue of what reality is anymore. The reality for us is to go, okay, I'm going to get me a new tattoo this week. My reality is I'm going to get me some new pair of shoes. Girl, I can't wait to go get my hair did. And girl, I'm going to get me some nails. I'm going to put them blue and green and yellow and shit. That's our reality. See, but when this other reality hit where you're not going to be able to afford to go do those things, then we will be awakened, but I believe it will be too late. So, again, I'm not here. Like I said, I'm not Paul Revere. I'm not Chicken Little. I'm not running around because I'm prepared. I am as well prepared as I can possibly be because I am what you call a prepper. Okay, and I've been prepping for 20 years for this to happen, and you say, oh, you crazy. You've been doing that for 20 years. Well, guess what? Do not come to my house when you don't have no food and water, because I have plenty of bullets too. But I'm just letting you know, these are the things that are getting ready to happen, and if you're not prepared and you're only depending on your so-called government, which is not a government. Did you hear what the white boy, the Bezo or whatever, the mayor of New York said the other day? He told the people of New York, he said, we own your body. Google it. He told the people, we own your body. And if you remember, go back and listen to my lesson that I did. I was trying to tell you that they own you because you have that birth certificate. And that birth certificate gives them the right to own you. Okay.
That's an insurance policy.
So again, Brother DeWatt, this is what that word inflation means. It's just like saying, go get me a yardstick. Get me a yardstick, get me a ruler, get me the compass, and let's do some measuring. So we're going to do what today? Let's practice a little hyperinflation. Okay, well, what about tomorrow? Man, I think I want to do a little deflation tomorrow. So it's just a game. It's a measuring stick that these boys use to play games with the monetary system because it's a fiat system, meaning it's all based off of debt paper. They could not use those terminologies and have them be effective if everything was based off of the gold and silver, because you could not manipulate. That's how America so-called became this great power mechanism. They call it the industrial complex. And what happened, these folks who have all this money that would have one part of the world fighting against another part of the world, and they all back in both sides, basically to make money. And right now, because of our debt in this country, Trump knows we gotta have a war, because that's the only way that we can keep this economy from blowing up. That's why he's trying to pick a war with Venezuela, trying to pick a war with Iran. Anybody who will try and pull up a gun, they want to kill him. Because guess what? You know who runs this corporation? Boeing, Lockheed Martin, all of those big-time companies that basically build these defense systems for so-called America, they're the one that run this country. They buy these politicians and make them vote for whatever they want. So they call it the industrial complex. And again, you can go back and look at Eisenhower. You can go back and look at MacArthur, a whole bunch of those presidents and people that were there who knew what was happening. They were trying to warn us. That's why they blew off Kennedy head, because he was trying to warn us about this industrial complex. So basically, we're here now, and these people have control of this system. And I don't have a remedy for any of that, because especially when it comes to us, because only thing we know how to do is put each other down and talk trash about each other. We won't support each other. So I don't see a remedy for us, and I don't see a remedy for America, because this is biblical stuff that's happening, and these are things that they predicted that they would make sure happen just so that they could say that that book is the truth.
Well, see, brother, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here, brother. So
they created a nation of people with an education and a mind to accept that. That's protocol number 11. Where it says that they would take the Goheen and produce his mind to produce a nation of people that think like the Goheen. See, we use books that were brought from the East to the West to tell us a story of what's going down right now. And all of this stuff, you can connect it if you know them books. And by accidentally, I know them damn books.
Brother, yeah. Yeah.
I know them books. I know what page they done put the shit on, or what you're talking about, or what they did. Because, see, we can look at America been in existence for 243 years. Out of 243 years, they have fought 223 wars. So only for 20 years that they've been at peace. And you just answered why only 20 years. They can't make no money if they had peace. So they got to have a war going on with somewhere, because this is an industrial nation of people. It's built on industrial by the aristocrats. See, all nations of people, it started by a secret society that was aristocrats. And we know that this nation of people over here was started by Lodge Number 1 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with 72 aristocrats called the Founding Forefathers, which was Scottish Rite Masons. And they all belong to a certain shrine, which made them shriners. And then when they became shriners, they went in there and they come out of the shrine and say they Christians. But when they in the shrine lodge, they Muslims. I find that simply amazing, because see, on every shriner's temple, you see the sign of Muhammad. You don't see no cross. You go down to the shrine hospital on Maple Street, you don't see a cross there. You see the sign of Muhammad. So why is this person that say he's a Christian is up in a lodge that is a secret, and when he come out, you're a Christian? If you go up in there, you're a Muslim. Well, the secret of the Masonic Lodge is somebody that look like me and you. That's the secret. See, some of us know. See, the Yama know that the secret of the Masonic Lodge is based upon the knowledge of the three Ruffin, Jubilee, Jubilee, and Jubilon. Them three Ruffin is a priesthood of how you can conquer a nation of people. And see, the human being wasn't the first one that they conquered it. It was the subhuman being. So there's two beings that walk around on earth. When you break it down, started in a chronological order, one a human being and one a subhuman being. So the school of thoughts that we have is that of a subhuman being. That's why we act like subhuman beings, because they have genocided us into look where we are standing in the gene pool of how many generations of people from 1970. See, when you became Jesse Jackson's tribe of people, African Americans. So you can see that this is only affecting the African American community as we speak. It's not affecting the Negroes that was colored people's community. That's Farrakhan's group. It's not affecting mm-hmm. them. But you can see all the Christians that is African American, because Jesse say Jesus first. And now they was announcing on the thing, go to the gospel, go to the House of Blues for the Easter Gospel Blues Brunch. It's off the chain. That's what Rev. Barnett said this morning. It's off the chain. The Gospel Blues Brunch. They ought to quit. Big Mama told me don't never sing. If I, as long as I sang the blues, don't sing in church. Boy, I wonder what she was saying. She was living there about them got a gospel at the House of Blues. They got a gospel blues brunch. And tickets, I think, is about $50. Kirk Franklin and the boys and all the sisters. They're going to have all the sisters will be sisters. Hoedin. They say they Christians. They say they following Jesus. But here's what we do know for a fact. There are three Jesuses in the Bible. One named Jesus the Nazarene. That's the first one. He was a Sephardic Jew. And then 1,523 years after his death came Jesus the Christ, who was an Ashkenazi Jew. So that's the difference between the Jesus, and then you got it Acts 13 and 16, where Jesus the Naz, as Doc Ben called him, had a son called Bar-Jesus. And so you got this information in your Bible, you just don't know how to read it. Because, see, it's the difference between a Sephardic Jew, which was Jesus the Nazarene from Nazareth, and Jesus the Christ from the Roman Catholic Church. He was an Ashkenazi Jew. He was a white boy with long blue eyes. I call him a hippie on a stick. He looked like them hippies in 1964 when I was stationed in California, toting them crosses and smoking that gunya, getting high as hell, walking on the freeway with a cross. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, well, let me put one last thing out here in the air.
Let me put
one last thing in the air for everyone, and that because it's a book that you have talked about many, many times, and if anyone is listening that does not have it, I would recommend go get that International Jew, book.
Yeah. It's cheap
because that book really explains how these people behind the curtain are playing us, and whenever I feel sorry for people in the military that's going and fighting and killing each other, because all you're doing is just playing a game. But when you are dead, you are dead because you can't wake up. And basically, they got you fighting for something you don't even believe. I was in the airport the other day, met this old white girl, and anyway, was talking to her, and she works for the Brookings Institute. And I asked her what she did, and then she got to talking about all she helped in dealing with the military and all this, and talk about she goes around promoting democracy. And I said, well, what is democracy? And you know what, Brother DeWada?
Well,
she couldn't even damn answer. She couldn't answer that question. I said, what is democracy? She couldn't answer it. But she going around killing
what
and
is the definition
fighting.
Of it?
Yeah, she couldn't answer what is democracy. I said, wow, no, she's at the Brookings Institute. But anyway, there's another book called by Dr. Claude Anderson called Black Labor, White Wealth. Get that book, and he breaks it down so beautifully, and he talks about the laws that are still on the book that are affecting us today, that where you talk about taxation without representation. He breaks it all down. Again, I appreciate you all, Brother DeWard, Brother Drew. Thank you, man, for doing what you're doing, brother. And anything I can do to help, hopefully someone was enlightened by the conversation. I just wanted to elaborate on those words because I know the last time I spoke, I covered a lot of detail, and Sister Shonda and my wife and everybody else, Tim, honey, people don't really understand what you're saying when you talk about all that economic craziness, but it's natural to me but not to us, because we're concerned about other things. And I'm only concerned about being liberated so that I don't have to bow down to no one. And the only way you can do that is to be economically free. So peace to all the brothers and sisters.
Brother Mosley.
Yes, sir.
Brother Mosley, before you go, you just brought a book up that I saw something. You can fire me up. You can put me on a. You tell me something. You'll throw my ass on another plane. Let's look at this book. It's a very cheap book too. I think it's about $5. You can order it. Called The International Jew. When Henry Ford wrote that book, he damn near lost his company. And got banded like hell. When Louis Farrakhan read out of that book, what'd they do to him this week? He suffered the same thing that Henry Ford suffered when he wrote that book. They put the same penalty on Farrakhan this week by banning him forever off of Facebook and Instagram.
Wow.
Because he read out of this book. He on damn television reading out of this book. He suffered the same thing that Henry Ford. I just realized that. I oppose that, because if we can go back, what did they do to Henry Ford? He like lost his company behind that book. And that book that Henry Ford wrote, he was solidifying the protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion. He said, hell, everything in that book is the truth. And in 2019, I done memorized the protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion. Everything in the book is truth. And I dare any son of a bitch to tell me it's a lie. I go in that book and open up a can of whoop ass on you. You did preach a good sermon today. That's your best sermon I ever heard preached by you. Out of all the sermons I heard you preach, Nazareth Church, this was the best. I say, boy, this boy here, he preaching today. So you should do this. That's how I make him get the Holy Ghost here. Get that Holy Ghost shit off of you. I told him, get that Holy Ghost off of you, kid. But man, that's so you done enlightened me to a lot of shit, stuff, you know, because of when you look at it like that. Because hell, I went in the grocery store today and couldn't find some stuff, man, that I was looking for. I couldn't find no ginger at the store that I usually go. The lines, they went sky high on lines. You used to get 15 to 20 lines for a dollar. You can't get but 3 for a dollar, man. I use lime in my water. 3 for a dollar now. When it was 3 weeks ago, it was 15. And 20 for a dollar.
Yeah. And the old people say, you haven't seen nothing yet, sir.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at it right there, man. See, it's items that you can't get.
And the items you won't be able to afford. You will be able to get them, you just won't be able to afford them. That's going to be the other problem.
What you got to go do is get you some flour and learn how to make biscuits and bread like Big Mama this year.
Hey, brother, trust me, you better get you some canned goods, and you better get some all kinds of stuff and stack up on you some Vienna sausage, all of that stuff. I don't even eat that stuff, but if you get hungry enough, you'll eat it. And I stack up on that kind of stuff. Every time I go to the store, I buy maybe 10 or 15 of them little cans, put it in my bug out bag.
You can get the chicken ones.
Yeah, you get you some peanut butter, store it in a bag.
Right.
Go get you some rice, store it in a bag, in a container.
Yeah.
All of those things you need to be doing, because, see, we're so apathetic and we think the government is going to be there for us. Well, ask those people down there in Louisiana at Katrina, where was the government? Standing on the bridge with the M60 saying, if you come across, we're going to blow your head off. Don't come over here to these white folk neighborhoods. So, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Well, Shema Yahawada, Yah Abin Yah Ika Kamadi Yah. Enjoy that lecture, boy.
Yeah, pretty good.
Thank you, sir. Peace. Oh, Kamadi Yah. Yah.
Kamadi Yah.